Good afternoon. We're excited about getting the 2012 season started. We're also excited about getting it started in a hostile environment versus a very good team in the Denver Broncos. We are excited, but we do respect it, and we're going to display that respect with how we prepare this week, and then we're going to go, of course, play the game. Let's spend a few minutes talking about the Denver Broncos and the problems or the potential problems that they will provide us. Obviously, we'll start with Peyton Manning. He needs no endorsement from me. His resume is his resume. Guys like Peyton Manning make their reputations in rising up in moments like this. He's battled some adversity with injury in a new city and so forth. We should anticipate him being at his very best. That's what guys like Peyton Manning do. Obviously, he's mentally talented. He's physically talented. He's got a ridiculous football character. He's smart. He works at it. He's a ridiculous competitor. We have to deal with him, but we also recognize that the Denver Broncos are a good football team. They were a playoff-caliber football team last year without him. So we respect him and them. Some guys that he'll be working with on offense, looks like he's quickly establishing a rapport with Decker at wide receiver. Decker's a big guy who plays big, creates space for himself, developing, again, a quick rapport. With Peyton, obviously, at the X position, they got Demaryius Thomas, talented former first rounder out of Georgia Tech, who's been issues for us in the recent past, obviously. He's another big guy who's extremely tough to get on the ground. His run after catch is exceptional. He utilizes stiff arms and stuff, and just in general, he has good leg strength. He's a tough tackle. Some other guys that have a past history with Peyton that he has a good rapport with, of course, is Stokely and Jacob Tammy at the tight end position. He's protected by a very good offensive line. Clady, the left tackle, is perennial Pro Bowl caliber. Of course, the right tackle, Orlando Franklin, is a very talented guy at the University of Miami, a very physical player, plays with good play demeanor. If you look at them on defense, the first guy you mentioned is Von Miller, the rookie of the year defensively last year. He's extremely talented, has great rush skills, can of course, utilize speed, he can utilize power. They move him around some in base defense. He's a Sam linebacker. In sub package defense, he's a defensive end. While we're talking about ends, let's talk about their front. Very talented group. They run as many as six people deep. Doomerville, of course, is an end. Derek Wolfe is a second round pick out of the University of Cincinnati who's starting at the other end. Very talented, high motor guy. They're supplemented by Ayers, who's a veteran guy who's highly regarded coming out of Tennessee. That's a good three-man punch at end. And again, as I mentioned earlier, they're supplemented with Von Miller and sub-package stuff. In the inside, they've got Banyan. They've got Vickerson. Got a good group in there. Of course, Ty Warren is a solid veteran player for him in there as well. Mays is their inside linebacker, very active guy. They'll be playing without DJ Williams, obviously. But that is a good group. They've added a veteran presence in Brookings. And the secondary, of course, is led by Champ Bailey. Opposite of him, of course, is Porter, who's a talented cover man with great short area quicks and can mirror just about any receiver in the National Football League. He's got some hardware to prove that. Their specialists are rock solid. Colquitt is a great punter. Jim Leonard could potentially be returning punts, and obviously Jim has caused problems for us in the past in several cities, whether it's Baltimore or New York. Now he's in Denver. We'll expect him to be a factor not only in the special teams game, but I'm sure he'll continue to work himself into the rotation from a defensive standpoint. Rock-solid group, well-coached by Coach Fox and company. New additions to that staff, of course, is Jack Del Rio at the defensive coordinator position. Not their first rodeo together. Those guys worked together in Carolina before Jack was a head coach in Jacksonville. Got a tall task, but we're excited about it. That's what life in the National Football League is about. We started the process of preparing ourselves here yesterday with our group of men. While I'm talking about that, I'll talk about some status things relative to some guys. The guys, of course, that we can count out at this juncture that are on our 53 are David DeCastro and Stevenson Sylvester. They won't be practicing or playing, obviously, this week. Some other guys that have missed some time, James Harrison, Jason Worrells, Rashard Mendenhall, Isaac Redman, all worked in some capacity yesterday. We're going to leave the door open for all of those men. and see where the week takes us. A lot of their availability, quite frankly, will depend on how they respond to a workload. So we provided a workload for them yesterday. Today is a player's day off. We'll see where that takes us as we push into tomorrow and really so forth cumulatively throughout the week. You can add into that group some other guys, some down-the-line guys. Robert Golden got banged up a little bit in our last preseason game. He worked yesterday. Curtis Brown worked yesterday. He got banged up in the last preseason games. Those guys are less likely to miss PT, but some of the other guys I mentioned earlier are closer than others, and we'll just monitor their progress and make the decision as we push forward through the week and really base that determination on how they respond to the work. But it was good work yesterday. Encouraged by the work of all of those men, particularly the two linebackers who've missed quite a bit of time here in the preseason, and James Harrison and Jason Worrells. I thought, I thought they were relatively sharp from an assignment standpoint, and B, I thought they displayed pretty good overall physical conditioning for a couple guys that hadn't logged at all very much in helmet time here in the early portions of the season. So encouraged on that front. Obviously, Ryan Clark will not be playing in the game. That's been our position in the past, and that will continue to be our position. Ryan understands that and is supportive of that. I'm sure he'll be a big support to his teammates, and not only in the stadium this week, but in preparation. He always has been that guy. I expect that to continue. Along those lines, right after this press conference, Ryan will be having a press conference of his own, talking about an initiative he's starting with his wife, Yonka, that is encouraging awareness in regards to sickle cell and the issues regarding that. It's a very personal thing for them. So, you know, we're honored and humbled to support them in that endeavor and their willingness to give back to that community. You know, the game is the game. Today is Tuesday. We're getting ready, getting up to speed, putting together base plans offensively, defensively, and the special teams, and really just looking forward to playing on Sunday night football, getting the season started in that manner in a hostile environment in front of our peers. We know what that's about. We respect that. We're honored anytime we're chosen to participate in primetime television. But more importantly than that, we need to show that honor with how we prepare and ultimately play. Be happy to address any questions.
Like any of those questionable guys come in today yet, improving our analysis?
I'm sure they have. I've just been upstairs in my hole. I hadn't visited with anybody yet. I'll get an update, I imagine, at some point this afternoon. But again, it won't be anything of any significance. We'll base how we move on how they look in the mornings leading up to work, specifically tomorrow morning and Thursday morning.
Mike, does the Indy offense look like the Peyton Manning offense? Does it all resemble what he did in Indy?
You know, anything that he's involved in kind of resembles other things he's involved in because they're usually successful. He's very efficient. He reads pass patterns and route distribution combinations very quickly. He challenges the defense with some of the things that he does pre-snap. It looks very familiar, but I expected it to because Peyton is Peyton.
Mike, you didn't mention Casey Hampton among that group. He's done pretty well since he played a little bit in the last.
Yeah, he's kind of in a little different category because he participated above the in an above the line fashion in the last preseason game. So we hadn't looked back with Casey.
How would you characterize Wallace's practice yesterday?
I thought it was pretty productive. You know, like I mentioned with some of the other guys who hadn't participated much. Number one, I was generally positively impressed with his overall understanding of what it is he needs to do. And number two, I think he displayed a decent level of overall physical conditioning. Obviously, that practice setting and that limited practice setting is not football games, is not hostile environments, is not NFL stadiums. So we'll temper that excitement. We'll just continue on with the preparation process that he's under and we're under this week.
Mike, people tend to – when Troy's out, people – there's a lot of notice for that, and how's the defense going to be without Troy? How has it worked without Ryan Clark, and how has that affected the defense?
You know, like anyone else that misses time, you know, we don't cry a whole lot about people that are out. We expect those that step into play to play in an above the line manner. Guys like Ryan Mundy and Will Allen have done so in the past, and we expect them to do so moving forward. Ryan creates certain challenges because of the nature of the job that he does. He's a great center fielder, if you will, a great hub of communication for our defense, not only our secondary. So those guys are going to be challenged in that way, not only to play above the line, but to provide some of the help that he provides the rest of the defensive unit with the way he communicates in-game, pre-snap, post-snap. It just comes with, you know, filling in for a guy like Ryan Clark.
Mike, what's different about Jonathan Dwyer this year than maybe 12 months ago coming in here? He seems like a more motivated.
It's a couple things. First of all, he's a young man that I believe is maturing. Of course, he just turned 23. It's funny to say that the guy's in his third year, just turned 23, but he just did. So it's a certain level of growth and maturity on a, from a personal standpoint. And obviously, the more obvious observation is he's in better physical condition than he has been in the past.
Is he in line to possibly start on Sunday night?
You know, he's working, as is some others. And, of course, Isaac Redman, who I mentioned earlier, is coming back from an injury. That's something that we'll determine later in the week.
Has Keenan Lewis earned the job at corner?
He's earned a spot, you know. I don't anoint people in terms of jobs or positions. You know, I'll let you guys do that. I think he's done a nice job here in this preseason and working and playing good, sound, technical football. And that needs to continue.
Is this the best you've seen from him?
It is, but quite frankly, we expect it to be. He's no longer a young guy. He's no longer new to our system of football or our football team. So we expect a hard worker such as himself just to continue to take off from a playing standpoint, and he has.
Mike, Cortez Allen has come quite a long way since last year. He had some injury issues, no spring. Now he's been here a year. How would you characterize his progress?
He's another young man that's grown by leaps and bounds, you know, still has, of course, room for growth. And, you know, and that's a point that I want to make and a point that I made to our football team. As I sat in front of the group yesterday and looked at the 53+8, the practice squad guys, you know, I thought it was a significant moment for us as we embark on this journey that is the 2012 season. But I also made a point that we're still very much a team in development, individually and collectively. You know, we must be a team on the rise. Obviously, we better be a better team in the latter portions of the season than we are now. I can say the same about individuals. You know, we're talking about positions and who's earned positions and things of that nature and who's going to run out of the tunnel and start. You know, all of that stuff is well and good, but individually, we better still be people on the rise from a football development standpoint, from a skill development standpoint, from a quality of play standpoint. That's the only way we're going to continue to grow and be the type of team that we need to be in the latter portions of the season.
Coach, did you have any expectations on where James Harrison would be in his rehab at this point, and where is he relative to those expectations?
I didn't have any, so that's probably an easy answer to the question. You know, James is a guy that's a competitor, and, you know, I know that if it's within his power to be there and perform, and particularly for his teammates, he will be. So I hadn't had any reservations about him in that regard. The issue is just whether or not he gets a clean bill of health from my medical staff. He has to this point in terms of being able to practice. We'll see how his body responds to that work and let that be a determinant about how we move forward.
Well, you have two backup quarterbacks with experience starting for this team. What's the benefit of having two rather than one with experience, maybe a younger guy like Jerod Johnson?
You know, the reality is that when you talk about backup quarterbacks, you need to find comfort in that they're capable of coming in and playing winning football. In those two guys, we know that we have just that. We've won with them in the recent past. They displayed in this preseason that they're capable of being reasons why we win. So the solutions or the answers to your question are just lie in that. You know, it's always some discussion in today's NFL, whether you go with two or three. You know, I always find comfort in three. When I walk up and down these hallways and look at pictures of the 70 Steelers that were 45-man rosters or what have you, and I saw three quarterbacks on those pictures. So, you know, that's a little bit of a history lesson for me. When you got three that are capable of being reasons why you win in general, I'm going to lean on going with that three. Obviously, some things that go on at other positions oftentimes weigh in that when you're putting together a 53-man roster. But just in general, we value and respect the quarterback position, particularly those that can be reasons why we win.
Would you say all three had a pretty good preseason, too?
I would.
Like you said, you're positively impressed with Wallace in his first practice. He still have an opportunity to come back and show you enough to start week one?
And again, we're just going to take that on a day-by-day basis and see where the week takes us. But, you know, I didn't see anything yesterday would lead me to believe that's not a possibility.
Mike, where's Chris Carter year one, year two, year two? Particularly the area from the run defending. Are you comfortable plugging him in Saturday, Sunday if you have to?
He's a much better football player than he was a year ago, to be quite honest with you. But, you know, that's what's been expected of him, and not only him but the other guys in his rookie class, whether we're talking about Cam Hayward or Marcus Gilbert, Cortez Allen, Curtis Brown, and others. We challenge all these guys to take a dramatic step, particularly with this group. Under the circumstances that they came into the National Football League a year ago, of course, were less than ideal from a preparation standpoint with no offseason and limited training camp exposure and so forth. We expect those guys to take a dramatic jump. He's in the group that has done that. We find great comfort in his ability to play and his ability to play winning football for us. Whether or not he gets an opportunity, how much that opportunity is, of course, will be determined with how we work this week. His work and others, the work of others.
Coach, based on how Chris Rainey performed in the preseason, will he be trusted with the return duties?
You know, he'll be given a return opportunity. I'm not going to go so far as to say trusted. He's a young guy, but he's a talented guy. He's taking advantage of the opportunities we've presented to him thus far. But make no mistake, we have some other very credible, experienced return men in Antonio Brown and Emmanuel Sanders, and we're not afraid to use those guys either.
Will Rainey do both?
He's scheduled to get opportunities at both, but again, we have some other guys who I know are capable and are chopping at the bit to contribute in that facet of the game as well.
Mike, has there been any adjustment that you've seen with special teams since the change in leadership?
Really very little. It's been business as usual for us in terms of the schematics and how we work. Obviously, there's an adjustment from a distribution of labor standpoint, but we got a good staff, we got good cohesion, and it's been a non-issue for us at this point.
Just to clarify, this is the ankle you're monitoring right now with Redmond, more so than that hip and groin.
Exactly. It's an ankle. If I didn't clarify that earlier, I'm sorry.
Anything else for Coach?
All right. Great. Thank you.